Blog Talk Radio.
I'm checking my battle signs, on my battle, I'm going to war again. Feeling the rhythm inside of my chest, all I need is just a pen. I know I was born for this. I know I was born for this. Don't care for the critics, my words are life, physics are force that they can't stop. They just don't get it, I think they forget I'm not done till I'm on top. I know I was born for this. I know I was born for this.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. It's going to be a special Memorial Day radio show. I do have a couple guests here with me. I have Daniel, and I also have Steve with me. You guys hear me okay on the radio?
Yes.
Yes, sir. I got you fine. Thank you very much. And I want to take a brief moment to thank each and every one of my veterans out there for your service.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, remember, exactly. We want to take a moment to thank all our veterans. And Steve, I believe you are a veteran, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's right. Well, thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your service, Steve.
Let's get started here today with our radio show. Show for today is going to be more on the security industry and how things are here in the state of Colorado. I know you're retired, Steve, but you were in security for quite some time. How long were you in security
years.
For before you retired? 32 years. All right.
33 years.
You did it for a long time. Perfect. Okay. And I know you saw a lot of things throughout your career. Before you retired, did you see, like, a change in the trend and how security was going compared to how it is now? What's your take on that?
No, I don't think security in the industry in the state of Colorado is very – very behind the times, let's say. The guards are, the officers, let's just say officers, are making what they were making 20 years ago. Okay? Because there's no regulation in the state of Colorado, like they have in other states where you have a state licensing. Here in Colorado, any Tom, Dick, and Harry can open a security company and hire people. And there's no regulation to say to drive up the wages. So if you have any Tom, Dick, and Harry that can open a security company, that keeps your wages down. And not to mention, there's no training because they just hire warm bodies. Let's just call that the warm body syndrome. To cover their sites. If you're going to do a patrol, they just throw them in a car, or they have to patrol in their own vehicles, let's say. So I haven't seen any really good progression in the security industry in Colorado like I have in other states. Yeah, it's not a very good progression in that instance. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I agree with you with that 100%, and that is one of the reasons why I'm doing this talk show, trying to talk with people on there, you know, try to get that word out there, because you are correct. Security industry right now in Colorado, it's more like the Wild West. I mean, you know, like you said, anybody can open a security company to hire people. Without the regulation and the training, you know, there's no set fees, no set wages, nothing like that. Nobody can do anything. And that makes it harder for us to even get contracts. I know, Daniel, we talked about that a little bit on our last show, trying to get contracts and stuff and how difficult it was. Touch a little bit more about that on, you know, what you saw, what do you see we're lacking with that security industry for trying to get contracts and what the problems are.
Yeah, well, you know, as I said last show, you know, every time I go into develop a contract for security, I'm talking with the people at the presence, and they let me know what they're paying for security, and I'm trying to figure out a way that we can, you know, work out security services financially, given what they've showed me. And that generally leads to a situation where I'm looking at their numbers and I'm going, okay, you know, for a security presence to be on site, and I break down the numbers and I see that it's completely unfeasible to have anybody on site for any given length of time at the rate that they're paying on a monthly basis. And the problem ultimately boils down to the industry standard is this way, so that when I look at competitive numbers, they're coming in at the same ballpark, and it's all in a range that makes it completely unfeasible to think about having a security presence on premises for any longer than 45 minutes at a time, let's say.
Yeah, I can totally hear that. I understand that. And that's what we're seeing a lot, too, out in the industry. I don't know, Steve said 20 years ago, that may have been feasible. But, you know, this day and age, it's just not feasible. I know, Steve, you mentioned that you don't see much progression with security. Is it just the wages you're not seeing, the training, or is it just in general the whole industry as a whole here in Colorado that hasn't progressed much in 20 years?
Yeah, exactly. There is. You can open a security company and hire a warm body, then you don't need to train them. You see what I'm saying? And I've worked for many security companies, many, many security companies, where they just gave me a uniform and said, this is your site, go do it. You know, I'm like, what am I doing? I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I come from an era where I started doing security at $6.13 an hour. And I had to train myself. You know, they stick me in on a site in an area or a neighborhood where I had to teach myself to speak Spanish so I could communicate with the residents. Or it was like, okay, well, I'm going to put you here on this site, but you have three or four other sites that you can walk to and do patrols, do your pool lockups, do your laundry room lockups, you know. And I'm like, I'm making $6.13 an hour. What am I doing? 3 weeks later, I get promoted to a captain making $9 an hour, and I thought that was just the coolest thing. But if I look back on it now, I'm like, I shouldn't have been making that. I should have been making a whole lot more money, you know. And when I got my first $12 an hour job, I thought that was cool. But that's what they're paying now for, like, say, armed in Colorado is $12 an hour. You know, I'm not carrying a gun to protect your site for $12 an hour. There's no way. Not to mention half of the security companies in Colorado can't afford the insurance to even have you out there with a gun. And that's another thing, you know, in this industry, is finding a security company that has the proper insurance requirements, not just covering the owners and the people that are on the paperwork, but covering everybody that's in the company. Because if you get into a hands-on or a certain situation, they're going to fire you and you're going to be left out to dry. And what are you going to do? You as a guard can't, or an officer can't afford the insurance by yourself. There's no way. And then what are they going to cover? They're not going to cover anything. And that's another problem with Colorado security companies, is that they don't have the regulation for the proper insurance.
Steve, you're 100% correct on that. And you know, a lot of that goes back down to, you know, what fees, you know, security companies are charging, how they're undercharging, you know. When you charge, you know, a client for security services, you got to take all that into effect, you know, what your insurance costs, what it costs to pay an employee decent wage, all your fees and stuff before you even make a profit. And looking at some of these prices that these clients are paying, you know, these service companies, they're not even making, you know, better enough to even pay their employees at $12 an hour, much less cover cost of insurance. So you absolutely nailed it on the head, or hit the nail on the head with that one. And that's part of the thing that, that I'm working on. That we'll talk about here in a few minutes about what I'm trying to do to try to hopefully change regulations here in Colorado, because it really is. I mean, I know you've been to other states. I've talked to people from like West Virginia, places like that. I think even parts of Texas, they have, you know, security is highly regulated in a lot of those states. And we just need to try to get more regulation here, get everybody on the same page to try to get, you know, more better training, you know, just everybody on the same page. What's your thought on that, Daniel? Tell me more what your thoughts are on that.
Well, you know, it goes, I agree. Just yesterday, I stepped out my front door, and I happened to notice a front range patrol car roll in the lot. Now, I'm looking at this car. It's like a 2017 Dodge Charger with front range patrol logos all over it, and I decide to watch. And I watch as this car circles the entire perimeter of my complex. And I'm sort of, you know, sneaking around, and I'm looking at this guy, and not once does this dude stop for any reason at all. He just pulls through the entire circuit and then pulls right out and then goes off on his way. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, what is security about that exactly? Like, if something goes down, you know, do I really feel comfortable that this man is equipped to step out of his vehicle and handle the situation? Because I know for a fact that there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes around this complex. I know that there are people that get up to some shady stuff around here. And I'm thinking to myself, if this man had to step out of his car, number one, would he do it? And number two, if he did it, would he be capable of handling that situation? And the conclusion that I'm drawing is no, there is absolutely no way that if this man stepped out of his car, he'd be capable of handling the situation, unless it were some domestic, civil conversation.
Yeah, you are absolutely correct to that, Daniel. And he probably, he's probably getting paid that minimum, $12 an hour, driving a company car, so it doesn't cost him anything. So he's getting paid at $12 an hour just to drive through the parking lot. And you're correct, that is not security, but that's what these companies are paying for. So they're probably paying $1,200 a month to this company to come in and do that. If we break down and do the math, they're making probably about maybe $15 at most an hour or per drive-through, so after overhead and, insurance and everything you're paying, you're lucky if you can pay your officer $12 an hour. So yes, you are absolutely correct. They didn't invest any training in that. And I know when I started security, 20 years ago, it was kind of like that too. And I kind of put myself to take on the training. I know, Steve, I think a lot of your training came from your military background and stuff. You didn't do a whole lot of training when you were doing security. You learned most of it yourself. Is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't do a whole lot of training. And I used to work for Front Range Patrol. And at the time, they used to have a contract with the Census Bureau. And they would put you in a car, and you'd have to go around to these patrol your properties. How they do it is, at least at the time, when I worked for them 10-plus years ago, 15 plus years ago probably, is that I would have my properties, and the reason why he doesn't get out of his car is because he doesn't have any time to get out of his car, because I had 16 properties on my one car that I would have to patrol in an 8 and 10 hour period. And if you take your time from 16 properties and divide it by your hours, there's no possible way that you can do 16 properties in an 8 hour or even a 10 hour shift and get out of your car and do community policing, you know, at all, period. So you would be, you'd have to ghost hit at least half of your properties if you did that. And if you ran into a problem where you had to get out of your car, you would still be on the hook for finishing your patrols and your hits on the rest of your properties and not get paid overtime. And at the time, I worked for Front Range Patrol, and other companies, how they get away with paying you a higher salary is they didn't take out taxes. They consider you a 1099 employee. And in the state of Colorado, if you're on a schedule, that's against the law. And after we had quit, and I do believe you had a guest on your show last week, Sean, we used to work at Front Range Patrol at the same time, and after we quit, I do believe Front Range got in trouble for that. You cannot be an employee in the state of Colorado and consider them a 1099 employee or a you're basically working for yourself, because you would be on the hook for all those insurances, and you couldn't afford those insurances. You can't afford the workers' comp. And that's another thing they don't pay for is workers' compensation either. They have it for the company owners, but they don't have it for you. And if you get hurt on the job, if you had to go hands-on with somebody, you're on the hook for those medical bills. And I know firsthand about that, because I have gotten hurt on the job, and they didn't help pay for anything. So that's how they can charge all those prices. They come in lowball their bids because they stack so many properties on you. And he had four cars out at night, four patrol vehicles a night with at least 10 properties on each car. And if you go $1,200 a month, per property times 10 properties, 16 properties on that one car, he's making a lot of good money that he's not paying taxes.
Yes, you are absolutely correct, and that's the thing we're running into. So when Daniel's out there getting contracts, he could help me get a few for my company as well, because, I got hit pretty hard for COVID. It kind of lost all my contracts, and just a lot of them out there, that's what they're paying. They're paying $1,200 a month, for people to come out and just drive through a lot, and they're like, well, they're not doing nothing. Well, yeah, because you're only paying them $1,200 a month, and when I give them a price that I have, to cover my insurance, cover my workman's comp, cover all that stuff, oh my God, that's ridiculous. Hi, well, do you want good service or do you want crappy service? You get what you pay for kind of thing, They don't understand that. And that's kind of why this industry is kind of how it is, because these companies who aren't paying, workman's comp and paying taxes, paying all that good stuff, are lowballing it. Us legit companies, we're getting screwed in the end because we can't get nothing on there, I know when you did a couple contracts, Daniel, what were you, kind of price were you seeing? I think you were seeing kind of the same thing, weren't you? Like $1,200 and stuff, and they said the prices we gave them were outrageous. Is that correct? I just kind of elaborate on that a little more for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I would go out there and, like I said, I was going out to these potential contracts, had no problem. No problem scheduling the opportunity, because every single client out there is looking at their security company going, what are these dudes doing for me? Like really, on a security level, these people are supposed to be out here protecting and serving. We're hiring them to keep our communities safe. And what are they doing? They're driving through our premises. I have one lady that I talked to that said that they would stop and take pictures. You know, but Steve, I want to kind of piggyback off of something you said. You said that you had so many contracts going at one single time that it was unfeasible for you to stop and really provide any manner of real security. And that's because you had to hit so many properties in an allotted amount of time that there was no way that there was that you were going to be providing real security. And that is what the industry standard is really banking on. They're going to price their services super low in terms of actual value for real service. And they're going to say, you know, we're a security company, we provide security. We're going to charge you $1,000 when, you know, real service might cost, you know, just pulling a number out of my butt, let's say $8,000 to cover that property properly. They're charging $1,000 for a guy to roll through real quick and get the heck out of there. Now, on income, for to have one guy roll through that property for $1,000 makes them bank. They are making bank on the value that they're providing because they aren't providing value. They are simply establishing a air quotes contract to provide security, but they're just rolling through real quick and then buzzing off to their next site. And that's what we see. We see if we're going in there trying to compete for actual security, there's no way that we can do it at a price point that's, you know, going to not only legitimately support security in and of itself, but allow the small guy to get ahead in the game. There's no way. And that's what we see.
Yes, you're 100% correct on that. I'm sure you've seen that. You saw that as well, Steve, when you were in security. I mean, you saw that quite a bit. I mean, you were front range patrols. That kind of what you were seeing as well, even before you retired?
Yeah. What also keeps our industry down, in at least in the state. In Texas, you've got to – a security company has to provide proof that their guards, that their officers are – properly trained. Now, they have three tiers in Texas. They have tier one, tier two, and a tier three. Tier three is your arms completely outfitted. Tier one is your basically unarmed officer. Now, even the unarmed officers have to go through the Department of Public Safety to get their license through the state of Texas. You know, you have to go through a certain amount of training, which is basically an academy. You got to pass that class, and then you have to, you know, work your way up into tier three or a tier two, whatever, however far you want to go. Most of them in Texas are like tier threes. Like you said before, like West Virginia, they're all state certified. Now, if you don't have state certifications and you have like a home rule state of like Denver, who banks money off of their licensing fees, you know, when I first started doing armed work in Denver, you had to take your weapon and you had to take your certifications into the Denver Police Department and have them sign off on it. And they had to inspect your weapon and make sure it was fit for duty. Now, at the time, I thought that was just a pain, me as an officer having to do that. But now that I see how they're doing it, it's a lot better, but it's still a home rule city thing where if it goes to the state certifications, they lose out on money. And those are those other little cities that also require you to have a guard license, like Cherry Hills, who doesn't allow you to carry a weapon in their city at all. So you have to be unarmed. You have Glendale, who just here recently, at least, you know, in my time frame, just recently allowed you to carry armed. You have Denver, you have Westminster, you have Boulder, all require you to have their certain city licensing, Greenwood Village, that kind of thing. So if you go to the state licensing, then they're going to miss out on all that revenue, all that money, you know, and things. But also with the training on our end of it, if you tried to train your guys the right way, your officers the right way, then you're not, you know, that's expenditure the company has to take on. And when you're taking on that expenditure to train your guards or your officers to be properly trained so they can handle anything that they might come across, and it's not a might, it's an actual will come across. They will come across it at one time or another. But security in the state of Colorado is more of an expenditure. If you look at the expenditures of, let's say, an apartment complex, they pay their gardening or the people that go out and mow their yards and everything more than they pay their security companies, because that brings in people. That brings in revenue. That rents the apartments. You, as a security company, are more of an expenditure. They don't care that you're trying to make their property safer. It's a insurance write-off for them. When their insurance company goes, do you have a patrol company or do you have an on-site guard? And they can sit there and say yes. Well, that gives them a discount on their insurance. I've seen the paperwork before. I've looked at the paperwork before. I have a friend or many friends that are district managers for properties in the state of Colorado, you know, and you still have properties managers or district managers in the state of Colorado for certain properties that don't allow you to bring weapons onto their property because they don't want that liability in case something happens. And they know stuff happens on their properties where you have to use your equipment, you know, and that's why they pay so low, is because they don't want that, you know, they don't want that liability of that community policing and making their property safe. They don't care. They're just looking at what it takes to turn an apartment and to get more people into that apartment as fast as they can.
You're 100% correct there, Steve. You know, that is correct. I do see that quite a bit. You know, that's like you said, it's just a write-off for their insurance. You know, it's cheaper for them. They could just tell insurance, yeah, I got a patrol company. You know, they don't do nothing. They just come in through there. You know, if something happens, oh, yeah, it's a write-off on our insurance. You know, our insurance cover, not a big deal. It's cheaper for them to do that in the long run. That is correct. You know, going back to type of license stuff, how every individual city has it, you know, and if you want to do security in every single city, you got to put that money out to every single city to do that, whether you're a company or whether you're just an officer trying to work in that city for that company. And that's why I'm trying to see what I can do to try to make it statewide, make standardized things, you know, more along the state, try to get things so there's just one license for the whole state like it is in Texas and West Virginia and other places like that. You know, hopefully we can talk more about that on our next radio show in the coming weeks here. You know, I do want to thank you guys for your time. We're almost out of time here. But I do want to thank you guys, both of you guys, for joining my show today. And you guys put some very good input into our show. Hope to have you guys as a guest again. You guys have any final thoughts before we conclude here?
Yeah, I wanted to just quickly thank you, Steve. Your perspective has been incredible for me. It solidified a lot of things that positions, I guess, that I've held that up to this point, because of my inexperience in actual security, have been hearsay. The things that you're saying are really leading me to conclude that my conclusions are not far-fetched, and they're not simply problems that I've encountered that I want to believe are problems with the sales process. You are in fact confirming that the problems that I'm encountering are due to the industry standard as a whole. And so I thank you, sir. And thank you, Chris, for having me on your show today, man.
Steve, any final thoughts?
Yeah, Chris, thank you. Thank you very much. No, I just think that what you're trying to do is very commendable, and it's something that needs to be done in the state of Colorado. I tried to do that a little while back with the state representatives, and I didn't get anywhere. So if you can get somewhere with it, that would be great.
Well, I'm definitely working for it. So, you know, hopefully I get some leeway. I'll let you guys know. I'll keep you guys updated on that. But again, I do want to thank you guys for being on my show today. I appreciate you guys. And I look forward to talking to you guys again in the future. Gentlemen, have a great day.
You too.
Checking my battle sign, drawing my battle lines, going to war